जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज कचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज कचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 9। उत्तरो वाच पाहि पाहि महायोगिन देव देव जगत्पते नान्यं त्वद् अभयं पश्ये यत्र मृत्युः परस्परम्। उत्तरो वाच पाहि पाहि महायोगिन देव देव जगत्पते नान्यं त्वद् अभयं पश्ये यत्र मृत्युः परस्परम्। उत्तरो वाच पाहि पाहि महायोगिन देव देव जगत्पते नान्यं त्वदभयं पश्ये यत्र मृत्युः परस्परम्। देव देव जगत्पते नान्यं त्वदभयं पश्ये यत्र मृत्युः परस्परम्। उत्तरो वाच पाहि पाहि महायोगिन देव देव जगत्पते नान्यं त्वदभयं पश्ये यत्र मृत्युः परस्परम्। माताजी पाहि पाहि महायोगिन देव देव जगत्पते नान्यं त्वदभयं पश्ये यत्र मृत्युः परस्परम्। उत्तरो वाच word to word meaning. Uttara uvacha. Uttara said, pahi pahi, protect protect, mahayogin, the greatest mystic, deva deva, the worshipable of the worshipped, Jagatpate, O Lord of the universe. Na, not. Anyam, anyone else. Twat, then you. Abhayam, fearlessness. Pashye, do I see. Yatra, where there is. Mrityuhu, death. Parasparam, in the world of duality. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. Purport. This material world is the world of duality, in contrast with the oneness of the absolute realm. The world of duality is composed of matter and spirit, whereas the absolute world is complete spirit without any tinge of the material qualities. In the dual world, everyone is falsely trying to become the master of the world, whereas in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord, and all others are his absolute servitors. In the world of duality, everyone is envious of all others, and death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit. The Lord is the only shelter of fearlessness for the surrendered soul. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shri Yuta Pad Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस इज अ सेक्शन वेयर अश्वत्थामा आफ्टर हैविंग बीन ह्यूमिलिएटेड एंड इवन फॉरगिवन आफ्टर हैविंग बुचर्ड द्रौपदी's five sleeping children, he has still not learnt his lesson, and his desire was to destroy the Pandava race entirely. So he thought that he achieved it by killing five Pandavas, he thought, but they were actually Draupadi's children. Then he was arrested, brought in front of Draupadi, but she, being a kind woman, she forgave him. So this is our Vedic culture, that even in times of lamentation, people did not forget virtue, because this was deeply ingrained in them and they were saturated with virtue. So anybody can make a show of being great, but as Srila Prabhupada says, the greatness of a person is tolerated by his ability to tolerate the provoking situation, or the greatness of a person is tested by his ability to tolerate the provoking situation. And this was the extreme where her children have been killed, and the culprit is brought in front of her, and immediately, as soon as she sees him, she says, "What are you doing?" She tells Arjuna, "He is the son of your teacher. He is a Brahmana. He doesn't deserve to be punished." So that is why Draupadi is so dear to Krishna, because Krishna is all pure. Just like Srila Prabhupada used to say, if we have to survive in fire, we have to be like fire. If we have to be close to Krishna, we have to be pure. And that's why Krishna allows these personalities to participate in his pastimes. And Ashwatthama was forgiven, but also punished. Because for a Kshatriya, somebody who is acting as a warrior, dishonor is worse than death. So he was just let loose, and he was driven out of Pandava's kingdom like an animal, which was a great insult, which was worse than death. And after he went, now he decided to destroy the last remaining descendant of the Pandavas that was not even born. So he wanted to kill the child within Uttara's womb, which is considered one of the heinous sins, the greatest sin one could ever commit. So we can easily say that first abortion was attempted by Ashwatthama. And to destroy life within the mother's womb, and that too, just to destroy a small child who is not even born, he released a Brahmastra. A Brahmastra has the potency to destroy the entire universe. It can also be directed towards a particular target without destroying anything in the vicinity. And to kill a small baby who is not even born within a lady's womb, he releases a Brahmastra. That goes to show that he was not qualified to possess this weapon. And his father, Dronacharya, knew this, but out of fatherly affection, because Arjuna had been given this, so Ashwatthama wanted, and even though Ashwatthama was not qualified, Dronacharya gave it to him. And that's what happens when power comes in the hands of unqualified people who are not mature. They can do greatest damage, because they want to show their power. They want to exercise their power, even if there is slight provocation, even if there is slight problem in their life. That's what they talk about. This is the language they use, their power. So unqualified people, therefore, were never given power unless they were Even if there was an emergency, in the case of Vena, we see there was no king. And the sages came together, he was made the king, and he was not qualified, they also knew. But a blind uncle is better than no uncle. So they put him on the throne, and he increased their anxiety. He became disrespectful to the sages, to Vedic Dharma, to the Lord. He stopped all the Vedic rituals. And therefore, the sages only destroyed him. So Ashwatthama was not qualified. One Brahmastra, Brahmastra cannot be invoked even if your life is in danger and even if the most powerful warrior is standing in front of us. But here, he is who is directing this Brahmastra at one helpless child who is not fully developed, who is not even born. And Uttara, wife of Abhimanyu, she being a mother, she understood. She could see this fiery arrow coming towards her womb. And she is surrounded by Pandavas. Pandavas are the five personalities who have come out victorious in this great battle of Kurukshetra. And they have defeated everyone, the most powerful warriors. And Uttara has them. But still, when there is a danger, she is not calling out to Arjuna or Yudhishthir or Bhima or Nakula or Sahadev. She spontaneously reaches out to Krishna, who is about to leave for Dwarka. And she is asking him, Pahi Pahi, Mahayogin, that you are the greatest yogi, you are the Yogeshwara. Please protect me, please protect me. So she reaches out to Krishna for help. And this is the hallmark quality of a devotee. Anybody can say that he or she is a devotee. But what is the real test, whether we are devotees or not? When we are in anxiety, when we are in trouble, who do we take shelter of? Do we take shelter of our mind? Do we take shelter of, as Srila Prabhupada writes, the fallible soldiers of this world, as is happening in this day and age, Kali Yuga? Whenever there is an anxiety or a problem in life, people run everywhere, but they are not willing to surrender to or take shelter of Krishna. So even the most pious people who must be worshipping Krishna, and the worship must have been going on for generations, but very rarely people take shelter of the Lord. So a devotee can never be in anxiety. In the Padma Purana it is mentioned, when Narad Muni went, the Bhagavat Mahatmya section, he is in Badrika Ashram and he is in great anxiety. Now that anxiety of Narad Muni was not for his own self. He had been traveling to all the holy places and he could see there were so many problems that had popped up. People had started telling lies. The holy places had become like places of business. There was no trace of devotion. So he was in great anxiety and he understood. People were quarreling, people were selling, and he was horrified to see when two things were being sold. These things should never be sold. But he was horrified to see, and that's when he understood that Kali Yuga has actually begun. He saw two things being sold, food and education. So this only happens in this worst of all yugas, when these two things become the main business. So he goes to Badrika Ashram, where he meets his elder brothers, the four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar. And they immediately ask him, Narad Muni, you are a devotee, why are you looking so anxious? Simple statement, yet very deep. So anybody who is a devotee can never be in anxiety. And if one is in anxiety, I'm talking about material anxiety, of course anxiety to show compassion, like Srila Prabhupada also showed anxiety, but it was meant for delivering others. But anybody who is facing anxiety due to material circumstances, so we have to really look into our own hearts. And that's the point where we need to take shelter of Krishna. So naturally, devotees take shelter of Krishna even if there is slightest problem in their life. They don't run here and there. They are not anxious because they understand things may be out of my control, but they are never beyond Krishna's control. So, okay, I cannot do it. Doesn't matter. Krishna can always do it. So I must take shelter of him. And this quality we find the culmination of this quality in the residents of Vrindavan. Even though they consider Krishna to be their child, Yashoda Mai sometimes chastises him. She sometimes binds him up. She sometimes makes him go to bed without food because he's been naughty that whole day. When there is lightning, Krishna is sleeping next to Yashoda Mai. He just gets scared and he hugs Mother Yashoda tightly. And the gopis make him dance because he wants butter. So they say, unless you dance, we will not give you butter, and Krishna has to dance. So Krishna is like their puppet. And they consider themselves to be superior to Krishna. Some of them consider Krishna to be their friend. Shridama wrestles with Krishna and he defeats him. So once Yashoda Mai came to invite Krishna and Balaram, because it was lunchtime and they had been playing since morning. So Krishna and Balaram began to leave. Actually, Mother Rohini was sent. So immediately Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, they said, Krishna and Balaram are leaving us right at the summit of our play. And if they leave right now, we will not allow them to play with us again. And Krishna and Balaram get scared and they come back. And then Mother Rohini has to go back. Then Yashoda Mai comes. Krishna and Balaram are so absorbed, they're not listening. And finally Yashoda Mai had to scare the boys away. Then she is able to bring them back. So when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, Madhumangal is saying Krishna is lifting because of my Brahma Tejas. And gopis are convinced Krishna has lifted Govardhan Hill because of being empowered by Radharani. The cowherd men are thinking he is a small boy, he might get tired. So they put their sticks under Govardhan Hill to support. Just like if somebody is carrying burden, one person, so somebody comes and helps. So they were thinking like that. Yashoda Mai, when Krishna has lifted Govardhan Hill, with one hand he is lifting the Govardhan, with the other hand he is playing the flute. And Yashoda Mai is chastising. That look what he has done. I've been telling him he is so restless. Aaj pahad utha liya. And she is feeding him with her own hands. So Krishna is eating also. She is not realizing that Krishna has lifted Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill, when it actually descended into this world, the Puranas mention it was 115 kilometers long, around 70 odd kilometers wide and 27 kilometers high. So Himalaya Parvat looked like a matchstick, tiny in front of Govardhan. And that's why that cursing thing happened. So Govardhan only arranged it so that by the time Krishna descended, it would be of a reasonable height for Krishna and Radha and the cowherd boys, the gopis, to perform their leelas. So Krishna had lifted. It was still an enormous size. Even now it is. But she's not realizing somebody who has lifted Govardhan, how powerful he must be. That's their love. That's their devotion. Madhumangal is joking with Krishna and Shridama is telling, what is the big deal in this? If he can lift Govardhan, I can too. Because 3 days ago I defeated him in wrestling. So that means I am stronger than Krishna. The gopis, they make Krishna dance. When Krishna, sometimes they get angry with Krishna. And Krishna bows down at their feet. They chastise Krishna. They bind him up. And sometimes they dress him as a gopi during the tax collection pastimes. So, even though they think Krishna is inferior to them and is their friend, beloved, is their child, but whenever there is a danger in their life, whenever there is an anxiety, spontaneously the residents of Vrindavan, they just run towards Krishna only. So this is like inbuilt system. That whenever, although he's my child, he's my beloved, he's dependent on me, they think that Krishna is dependent upon us. If we don't feed him, he'll become weak, he'll become sick. They are concerned about him 24/7. But when there is a danger, generally that doesn't happen. In a household, the parents are taking care of the child and the child is dependent on them, they think. And when there is a danger, they are not running to their child, "Oh child, please save us." They are running to save the child. But the residents of Vrindavan, it is deeply ingrained and inbuilt. Spontaneously they call out to Krishna whenever there is a problem, whenever there is an anxiety. So that is the hallmark quality of a devotee, and which Mother Uttara is also exhibiting, manifesting. She is not calling out to the Pandavas, the powerful warriors. She is calling out, and they were also blessed with the celestial weapons. But she understood there's nobody. She didn't even think about it. Spontaneously she just reached out to Krishna. Because as Srila Prabhupada mentions in this, there's nobody else who can protect us. If someone thinks that he can maintain someone, he can protect someone, that is false ego. Even the parents have very limited control over this. When the child is within mother's womb, what is the kind of situation the child is living in? And if we put an elderly person, a grown-up person in that situation, he will die within seconds. But a child survives in that situation, in that condition for 9 months. Who is supplying him food? Who makes that arrangement that the food, nourishment will be supplied? Who is protecting the child within the mother's womb? So whoever protects the child within the mother's womb also protects him when he's outside. So it is Krishna who is the maintainer and who is the ultimate protector. And especially when it comes to destiny, the very fact that we have this material body, we know we have committed mistakes, we have committed sins, and now we are trying to rectify that. But destiny is always supreme, and every now and then there is a reversal in our life, and destiny is bigger than us. And the classic example is Draupadi. It was Dwapar Yuga where the women were respected so much. Scriptures talk about how much women, elderly people, children, cows, and the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas are to be respected. And if anybody makes them cry, makes even one tear fall from their eyes, that person's life duration, name, fame, wealth, everything will be destroyed within no time. But in Dwapar Yuga, in an assembly which was full of men, Draupadi was dragged, and she was only wearing single cloth on her body in front of all the men. And this was the time where they were always in the private quarters, they would never come out into public, and she was dragged. And the destiny was so powerful, even though that assembly was full of the greatest moralists, warriors, people like Bhishma, Drona, teachers, the elders, the Kurus, Dhritarashtra was there. They couldn't save her. What to speak of them? Draupadi had the most powerful people on the planet at that time as her husbands. Even they could not get up to save her. That was her destiny. Krishna in the Mahabharata does mention why Draupadi had to go through all this. And he reveals her past life. And he tells Draupadi was destined to go through much worse. But fortunately, he actually uses the word fortunately. Fortunately, she called out to me, so she was saved. So destiny is bigger than us, but Krishna is bigger than destiny. So therefore, whatever is there in our destiny, that can all change if we turn to Krishna. He is the only one who can protect, he is the only one who can save. So therefore, Uttara understands who can save her child in this situation, and she reaches out to Krishna. This material world is a place which is full of fear. Srimad Bhagavatam mentions there is danger at every step. And it is a world of duality. And the Gita mentions we are spiritual beings. Krishna mentions unchangeable. And the world of duality means happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, praise, criticism, profit, loss. And for a soul which is unchangeable and not used to change, changing situations become very problematic. Therefore, we hate changes as and when they pop up in our life because we are unchangeable. So when there is a change happening, so it is an incompatible or unnatural situation for the soul. So therefore, we always, we try to at least mentally retaliate against that change. We always, we are not very happy with the change. So, but we are living in a material world, change is inevitable. And Krishna has already given a disclaimer right at the outset of the Bhagavad Gita. As soon as he starts speaking the Bhagavad Gita, this is the first thing he talks about. Matra, Sparsha, Stukantaya, even before that, Dehinavasmi, and before that also. He talks about the change. Because we are always looking for a permanent situation of happiness. And he says that is not possible. It is a world of duality. If we are in the middle of the ocean, we cannot complain about the waves. We are in a wrong place. So he says if there is happiness, expect there will be distress also in due course of time, whether we are devotees or not devotees. In every situation of happiness lies the seed of distress also. If there is profit at some point in our life, expect there will be losses also. But the tendency is to forget that and become attached to one situation. So, but if we remember that, okay, there is profit someday, there may be loss also, we are only expecting it. So when the change actually does happen, our pain will be reduced by 70-80% when we are expecting things to happen. And we are ready for it. We prepare for it. If we are expecting a change, we must prepare for it and keep options open. That will help us deal with it as and when it happens. So if there are people who are praising us, there will also be people who will criticize us. So Krishna in the 11th canto has told Uddhava that one should learn not to take either of these two seriously. So if somebody is praising us, if we take that seriously, yes, he is actually right. I am so good. Then when somebody criticizes us, which eventually will happen, there will be people. And this is a world, no matter what we do, people will always have something to say. So to think that everybody should be pleased with me, everybody should be happy with me, is the most unrealistic expectation to have. And it is the recipe for disaster. Anxiety is inevitable. So no matter what we do, people will say something, so we might as well do the right thing. So we have to know what is right and do what is right, what the Shastras are saying. So even when Krishna was in Dwarka, there were people talking about him. There were rumors spread about him that he had killed Satrajit because he wanted the Shamantak jewel. So if there are people who praise us and if we take it seriously, then tomorrow if somebody criticizes us, we will take that seriously also and will go into anxiety. So Krishna says then, what to do? What is the solution? He says there is no solution. Tolerate it. Tolerate both types of situations. Happy situations by staying sober and not becoming complacent or proud, and distressful situations by taking shelter of Krishna. So in good times, we thank Krishna for those good times because everything is by His grace. And in bad times, we take shelter of Krishna. Tolerating good by not becoming proud and tolerating bad by not becoming depressed. Knowing that both situations are impermanent. They are non-permanent. So if there is happiness, this too shall pass. If there is distress, this too shall pass. That is the nature of the world. And as we are passing through those emotions, going through those situations, we have to just be patient and tolerate. Because things will happen at their own time. The Lord's timing is perfect. They will take their own time, and so this cannot be avoided. But in both situations, we can learn to grow if we turn to Krishna. And in fact, more growth can happen when we are going through stressful situations, provided we are turning to Krishna in that situation. Like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he once mentioned in his lecture, how do we judge the auspiciousness or inauspiciousness of a situation? The world has its own definition, standard. But the auspiciousness or inauspiciousness of a situation is judged by how we are coming closer to God or going away from Him. So any situation that brings us closer to Krishna, it could be a tragedy also, it could be a problem, it could be a stress. But if it brings us closer to Krishna, if it makes us remember Him with feeling, then that is the best thing that has happened to us. And if anything takes us away from Krishna, it could be success, it could be name and fame, then that's the worst thing that has happened. That is the most inauspicious thing that has entered our life. So this is a world of duality, and we have to understand we are living in a wrong world. If we want complete state of happiness, oneness. So it is not that Mayavadi type of oneness, or we become one with God. What we are trying to explain here is, we just want similar state of happiness. It should never end. It should be full of variety. And that's only possible in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Goloka. Because there is no anxiety, that world is free from duality. Only happiness, only festivals, only bliss. So if you want to be experiencing permanent happiness, then we have to go to a place which is of permanent nature. And for that we have to engage in activities also which are of permanent nature, like chanting. Krishna is permanent. His name is permanent. Devotional service is permanent. Deity form is permanent. So whichever way we can, katha is permanent. Whichever way we can come in touch with Krishna, if we engage in these activities, then we are actually getting trained up in the culture of the spiritual world. And one day, as we leave this world, we'll be in the spiritual world. By Krishna's grace, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, to be precise. Because Lord Chaitanya is giving us everything, the highest, at no cost. All we have to do is simply chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is a world of duality. It is composed of, Prabhupada writes, matter and spirit. So both things are present. And in fact, it is the spirit which gives life to matter. matter is dead. The only reason sometimes people ask, why is this material world created by Krishna? So we are the cause behind the material world. The only reason why this material world is running or active is we, the spirit souls. Otherwise the universe is dead. It is dead matter. It's only when the souls come into this world does it really become active. So if every soul makes it his goal to go to the spiritual world, the material world is not required. It no longer needs to exist. So only when spirit enters matter does that matter have some attractive power, or does it really become meaningful? It has to be touched by spirit. Like somebody likes to eat upma, so we can keep the ingredients salt, water, and semolina and green peas or whatever vegetables separately, and we can tell the person eat separately. We eat, we don't get the taste of upma, but then spirit has to get involved and mix them together, and then it becomes tasteful. So this is a world which is composed of matter and spirit. The spirit is controlled by matter here. Matter is more prominent. Whereas the absolute world is complete spirit without any tinge of material qualities. And that spiritual world is controlled by spirit, spiritual qualities. And the nature of spirit is Satchit Anand. It is eternal, full of knowledge, and also full of bliss constantly. As Lord Brahma mentions, Katha Ganam Natyam Gamanapi Vamshi Priyasa. There are constant festivals going on. Everybody is talking as if they are singing. Everybody is walking as if they are dancing. There is so much happiness. So what do people do when they are happy? They sing and dance. And that's constantly going on in the spiritual world. And flute is the constant companion. It is mentioned that even when the residents of Golok Vrindavan, they are engaged in their duties, in the background, constantly, there is flute music going on. Like here, just to create that nice ambience, nice vibrations, sometimes we play flute music in the background so that everybody who enters feels nice. And flute music is actually very pleasing. But imagine if Krishna's flute playing, and there nobody has to switch on their phone or whatever. Krishna's flute is constantly playing in the background, and therefore they are always blissful. In the dual world, everyone is falsely trying to become the master of the world, whereas in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord and all others are his absolute servitors. This is another distinction between the material and spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everybody knows that they are humble servants of the Lord and his devotees. And everybody thinks that somebody, the others are better than him. In the world of duality, everyone is envious of all others. And this we don't find in the spiritual world. Even though there is competition over there also. So wherever we go, our consciousness goes along with us. So unless we gain this consciousness of the spiritual world, we don't get entry into the spiritual realm. In the third canto, Lord Brahma mentions when he's talking about the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Everybody is busy glorifying the Lord, and that is the spiritual world. All other species as well. So cuckoo bird is singing, which is very sweet, the best of the bird singers. And suddenly a bumblebee enters. And how does a bumblebee sing? There's no comparison. But as soon as the bumblebee enters, the cuckoo bird becomes quiet. Thinking that bumblebee is glorifying the Lord and she's better than me. So that is a natural consciousness. But in the material world, people get envious of others. And the nature of envy is, this envy is deep-rooted, it is the sum total of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion. And envy is the last thing that leaves the heart. It is the worst thing also. And if somebody has envy, If somebody says, Prabhuji, I have envy, but I don't have lust, anger, and greed, etc. So, that's not a fact. Because envy is the sum total of other five. And the covering of envy is the thickest. And envious people, they thrive. Their consciousness is not how to grow in life. Their formula of growing in life is by putting others down. They will literally try and do that with their words and actions. And amazingly, they have this great talent to justify what they say and what they do. They can give logic, they can give reasoning. We see in the example of Daksha Prajapati, before he was so envious of Lord Shiva, because he was seeing him externally, he was judging him externally, although Lord Shiva is internally very, very elevated. So externally, when we judge people by their actions, by their appearance, we could be committing the gravest mistake. And he judged him. He was so envious, why is he getting so much respect? And before he started blaspheming him in the assembly, he justified. I am not speaking it out of envy. All of you must listen. And what I am doing is stating the facts. So envious people, their formula in life, agar kisi ka kaam kharab na kar sako, first they try to spoil somebody's work. And if you can't do that, agar kaam kharab nahi kar sakte, to naam kharab karo. Then they will try and spread rumors. Then they will try and spread bad things about you. They will make up things. They will assume things. They see somebody, the object of their envy doing something, and they'll come up with something, they'll cook something, and then present it before others as a reality. And this is extremely deep-rooted. And these people don't realize that they are just defeating their own purpose. Because they are the ones who suffer the most. Constantly, their focus in life is the person that they're envious of. They are not focusing on what they should be doing or what they have been blessed with. Their focus in life is only what the object of envy is doing, thinking, speaking. And to spoil the name and the work that the person is doing, they can go to any extent. And they can justify it very nicely. Externally, they can very, very nicely be very gentle, very humble. But this is how, because they have to hide. It's a disease. Like there was a man, and he was in an area where it was illegal to catch any animals. So he came across, I don't know what you jackal or something like that. And suddenly there were security guards. So he was wearing a big overcoat and he just picked up that animal and hid it inside so that the security guards don't see. They kept talking to him. And it went on for some time. And as they left, he just collapsed, dead. Because he was holding that animal inside, the coat, he just ate up into his heart. And he died. So this is how envy acts. It's like a white spot of leprosy on somebody's face. Beautiful face. Destroys everything. All the other qualities are destroyed. So everybody is envious. In the spiritual world also there is competition. But that competition is, if some devotee sees that other devotee is doing better than me, they don't become depressed. Envy means if we see somebody else growing, we become depressed. That is envy. So there they don't become depressed. There also there is competition. But when they see somebody else doing better, some nice service to the Lord, they don't become envious. They think, they feel, oh, this devotee is so nice. He has done such wonderful service. Now let me do better service than him. Now, till this point, it's all common. Here also we see someone sometimes doing better than us. We want to surpass that personality. But the thing in the spiritual world, the consciousness is, here people think that I want to do better than this so that I get more glorification. That will give me more pleasure. so that people glorify me. But in the spiritual world, a devotee thinks, oh, I must do better service than this person so that Krishna gets greater pleasure. So he has given 10% pleasure with this seva. I must do better service than this devotee so that Krishna gets 20% pleasure. That is the spiritual world. And the material world is envy. And death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit. This is a material world, and anything which is material will have a beginning, it will also have an end. But in the spiritual world, because it is made of spirit entirely, there is no death. And Srila Prabhupada ends the purport, one cannot. The Lord is the only shelter of fearlessness for the surrendered soul. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. So if we want to save ourselves from the cruel hands of death, we have to surrender to Krishna. And if we want to be fearless, Bhajahure Manashri Nanda Nandan Abhaya Charanar Vindre. The opposite of bhaya is abhaya, fearlessness. And that can only be granted once a person takes shelter of Krishna. And it is true for both devotees and non-devotees. Sometimes people say, oh, but I am an atheist, so I don't believe. So whether you are an atheist or a theist, the solution is take shelter of Krishna. If you want to be free from anxiety, free from death. Now, does that mean that once we become devotees, we don't die? Srila Prabhupada answers this question very nicely. He says, no. We have this material body. Now, we can't undo this. This material body has to end. Death only happens for the body. We anyways never die, for that matter. We just change bodies. Body dies. But just to make it reasonably understandable for people who have no experience of this eternality, so we have to mention like this, that but this is the last time we will die. This is the last time, if we surrender to Krishna, this will be the last time we'll have to go through the experience of death. Because after this, we regain our spiritual body, eternal body, and live in the spiritual world where there is no death and only complete bliss. So, Brahmaji, as he mentions, Tatte anukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakatam vipakam ridvag vapurbhir vidadhan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhag. Whether we are devotees or non-devotees, ups and downs, trials and tribulations in life, there will be people who will misunderstand, judge, try to create impediments. This will keep on going. This is a world of duality. People will praise, people will criticize. There will be happiness, distress, profit, loss. But throughout all this, as Lord Brahma mentions, a person who can continue to tolerate this, and that's the only solution, and at the same time keeps thanking Krishna, remembering Krishna, keeps taking shelter of Krishna, then for that person, mukti becomes his rightful claim. That means that person can actually demand it from the Lord in the end. Look, I have done, I have tolerated everything, I have not given up my faith, I always remembered you, took shelter of you. While tolerating that, I continue to offer my humble pranams to you, so now you have to give it. And Krishna has to give it. So the world, the nature of the world will not change, but how we respond to the situations is certainly within our own control, and the best response is always turning to Krishna. And that is what a devotee is all about. And as exhibited by Mother Uttara, she is in danger, but instead of calling out to anybody else, she calls out to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे।